sucks getting older now. So that's why I use the leveling system. It makes it's lying to myself, but it makes me feel better.
Yeah.
For everybody that didn't hear the first part of the conversation because we weren't recording it. Happy birthday to our co-host today, Brian Brantley. Yay! Woo! You're getting older. You're gonna die soon. You're a day closer to dying. How does it feel to definitely be now a whole year closer to 40 and a whole year further away from 30?
Yeah, exactly. that's the biggest thing. Well, it's funny because I was thinking about that. I was like, yeah, this is the one that's hits you. Thinking about that, the next two or three, I'm not at least the next two, I probably won't even think about, and then I'll start thinking right before 40. I'm like, oh shit! But
it's I remember thinking, turning 30 turning 30 would be bad, but it really wasn't, I guess, because we were still doing most of the same shit we were doing in our 20s, you know, as far as like what we watched, what we liked, talking to our friends, each other, and all that stuff. I became a dad, you know, right before I turned 30, so there was that. But 40 seems like looming and scary. Why?
Yeah, I don't know, because there's no longer a sense of youth. I think when you hit 40, like you still sort of have the illusion in your 30s. You're like, well, you know, I'm not mm-hmm. that far from 20. When you hit 40, I guess it's the further you're away from your 20s is the mental image in your mind of youth, so mm-hmm. the further away from it, the, you know, getting older. It is funny though, I'll say the older I've gotten, the last handful of years, there have been a couple times where I forgot how old I was. I knew I was in my early 30s, but I couldn't remember if I was like, wait, am I 33? Am I
34? Yeah, when somebody asks, like at a doctor's office or a job thing, or somebody needs your age, like, how old are you? Oh shit, 30,
exactly.
Four? Five.
When you're younger,
when's my birthday?
When you're younger, you're always, you know, that's something you just think about and know, but I don't know, you try to forget, or you just don't think about it as much.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of my birthdays, and I haven't been in a long time, so there's absolutely no celebration. I don't go out. I don't do anything. I try to. I let my son, of course, give me a card, and my wife will usually, you know, get a card as well. But that's it. Like, daddy's awake. Let's give him his cards. Tell him happy birthday. That's it. I don't want to hear no other shit about my birthday. And Christine's a little different. She likes her birthday. She wants to go out to eat and stuff like that. This year we didn't get a chance to, obviously, because of the vid. I hate the vid.
One of my favorite birthdays ever was we hung out. Remember? We went on a trip.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we sure did. That's Cedar Point, right? Yeah. We first off, good morning, everybody. Welcome to LR Mornings with Kyle and Brian.
That was probably one of the best in the last decade. Definitely, that was.
You and I. It was supposed to be you, me, and Christine, but. The calendar, depending on how the calendar falls, Mother's Day falls really close to your birthday sometimes.
Yes.
And Christine didn't want to be away. She was a new mommy. This was 2014. Christine was a new mommy, and she was supposed to do it. It's supposed to be the three of us. And then at the last moment, she was like, "I can't be away from my baby," because we were going to leave Lucas at grandparents' house, you know. And so she didn't go. You and I went and had a blast. Had the drive up there. Didn't do the park that day because it's a fucking 9.5 hour drive, straight drive from where you live. And but we did 2 days at Cedar Point, and that was a blast, man. Met that pretty Damn. Girl and her mom. And I tried to run interference with the mom for you.
I remember that too.
I would have gladly went and gotten my own room, but my wedding ring wouldn't come off. Also watched a hockey game at the TGI Fridays there because the Penguins were playing the New York Rangers.
Might have had a few drinks that night.
we might have had a few drinks. That was good time, and that storm rolled in, and we kind of like drunkenly walked out to the to the beach to see this massive storm, and all I could think was just please don't ruin tomorrow. And it didn't. You know, it didn't. No, the next day it was a little muggy, but it was fine, and we had met that. God, what was her name?
I used to remember.
Brittany. Yeah, her name was Brittany, and she worked with kids like you did or something like that. Yeah, and her and her mom were nice, and we had basically dinner across from them at a hibachi grill, which shouldn't actually be called hibachi. It should be called I forget the proper name for it. The flat top griddle cooking style in a Japanese restaurant. Americans call it hibachi, but that's not the actual title for it. I forget what the real name is. Anyways, everybody right now is calling me a weeaboo. I can hear you motherfuckers, and no, I am not. Slightly. Anyways, we went because you get into the park an hour early, but only certain rides are open. So we went in and we went for Millennium Force, and lo and behold, Brittany and her mom were there. That was a good time, man. I'd just come back from my third deployment, just became a dad. And it was a good decompression. I really wish Christine would have went, because it would have been a good decompression for her as well.
I discovered that my inability to spin around anymore on a ride.
That was, yeah.
I don't even know what you might remember the name of the ride, but
it's like some shit. Excalibur, you spin around a bunch like that.
And flip. And I was like, yeah.
Yeah, you spin around and it moves. We've got one at King's Dominion. If anybody knows that park, it's called Delirium.
And I was like, well, you know, I'm sure I ride rides like this, so, you know, get on it. And oh my God, I remember as it was slowing down to stop, I knew it was done. I was in trouble. And yeah, that was bad. And I will say to the credit of the Cedar Point staff, they keep their bathroom floors very clean. And the bathrooms were quite clean, because I had to be on that floor, over that toilet.
That kind of ended our Max Air. That's what it's called, Max Air. I can see I've got I had actually created a Brian and I were trying to beat our record from the last time we had been to Cedar Point, which I think was like 19, and we're like, oh man, we're so close to 20 rides, and that was the time we went with my sister, her husband, me and Christine, and you, and so we went with the purpose of, you know, we had 2 days to top 20, and Monday we made 15, because Brian got sick on Max Air, And that was it. So we went and hung out at the hotel until you felt better to go eat and stuff, which was fine. It's such a nice, like, staying on site is so worth it, ladies and gentlemen. I've stayed on site at Cedar Point and at Universal Studios, and if you can afford it, I highly recommend it. The cool thing about Cedar Point, what Brian and I found out, is the Point Break Hotel or whatever it's called. It has like the really fancy rooms, like the really fancy suites, like, you know, what most people think of when staying on site. But then off to the sides are a couple buildings that have just regular hotel rooms. They're nice, but it's a bed or two, a couple lamps, and a bathroom, and that's it. But you still get like all of the amenities that everyone else is getting, but for a fraction of the price.
Yeah, and you just have access to decent food. You know, you have restaurants right there. You don't have to go anywhere. You from the moment you wake up, you can have breakfast and be in the park in like 20 minutes. I mean, it was great.
I don't remember the name of the restaurant we had breakfast at.
It was real good. We went every morning.
Mm-hmm. Real fast service too. Yeah. Do you remember how many rides we actually got on Tuesday?
It was crazy because I remember how painful it was by the end. Like, we were in pain because we just wouldn't stop. We just kept going and going and going.
Do you care to take a guess at 23? How many we got? Almost. We got 26. We had 26 rides, including two on the massive top thrill dragster. And let me see how many is this on?
Because we, I do remember that.
back to back once. I think
it got to a point where I was like, "Yeah, I don't know if we can do that again." That was getting to me.
Five, six. Six times.
I love that ride.
Six times on that one. Yeah, that is a great ride. Six times on that one. One, two, three, four times on Maverick. Another amazing ride. Three times on Twister. Three times on the Skyhawk. Twice on the Dragster. We skipped out on Raptor, which was the overhead, the ski lift style one. We rode it Monday, skipped it on Tuesday. The stand-up Mantis, which has been converted to a sit-down floorless roller coaster now, once on Tuesday. Mean Streak, the wooden roller coaster, which has since had its RMC makeover, which, God, dude, I can't wait to ride that.
The Skyhawk, was that the swing thing? That's the scariest damn thing in the park.
Yeah, Skyhawk was swing.
For me, you? Like all these roller coasters are pansy. Giant and everything, but that damn, you have nothing holding you. And when you when you lift to the highest point, you're straight down. I can't, there's no way to describe the feeling. I mean, it's definitely, if you go there, you have to ride it, but hands down, that was the scariest thing for me.
Yeah. God, I'm trying to find out what. Steel Vengeance is what replaced Mean Streak, and it's got a 200-foot drop, top speed of 74 miles, four inversions, and this is on a wooden frame with the patented RMC Rocky Mountain Coasters I-beam track. And you said you finally got to ride an RMC. What'd you get to ride on?
But I did. That's the one where you they convert the track, right? And it rode smooth to me. The one I rode, it rode very smooth. Now that first drop, when you look at it, you don't think physically it's possible because it, like, I don't even know, you go up a hill and then it goes upside down as it goes.
It inverts to go down.
It
yeah.
works very well. Yeah.
It's a trip. Let's see. I know which park you went to. Storm Chaser?
That might be.
No. No. Because yours is a. It wasn't Six Flags, right? Oh, it was? Okay, so yeah. Storm Chaser. Yep. And ours is Twisted Timbers, which is the closest one. But the tallest and fastest is that Steel Vengeance in Cedar Point, which, dear God, I don't want to get sad, but I probably will never be able to ride it. But hopefully, maybe. Gwazi, did you ever do Tampa? Busch Gardens,
not
Tampa?
Not since I was little. I hit just about everything in Florida at one point. And then anything on the East Coast I've probably been to just about when I was younger.
Yeah.
Yeah.
At some point.
I want to go back. I hadn't been in years. Dollywood's got like a lot of new coasters. And I've been hearing about them.
Mm-hmm.
I hadn't been there in forever.
Let's see. The Iron Gwazi, which is the RMC conversion from the original Gwazi, which was a wooden roller coaster. That's what RMC does. So they take old wooden roller coasters and turn them into hybrids. It's going to have a 206-foot drop, 76 miles an hour, three inversions, 91-degree vertical angle.
Yeah, what the hell was the thing? The Maverick does that weird-ass dip.
It's like a 93-94% or degree angle, so you actually are almost going upside down at one point on the downhill. I love roller coasters. I do so much. Yeah, I miss them, dude. I really, really do. Yeah. Oh well, that's what happens. What do you know about Artemis Fowl, the book series?
A little bit. I know a few kids I've worked with were into it. I know he's a kid. I know the premise essentially. They say he's like a super villain, but he's the main character, and that's sort of how. Right, and that's right. I know he's a. I think he's a thief. I think he's like a master thief or something.
Yeah,
that's about all I really know. I've never read anything or really I've never taken the time to dig into any lore really.
Yeah, he's kind of like an anti-hero. It's like young adult or youth. Not what are they called?
Yeah,
YAV or
it's like YA, but for whatever. Slightly younger. But in that,
Disney, of course, is trying to turn it into a franchise, and they had plans to release it this year. There's only been one trailer, as far as I know. And what's absolutely crazy is that Disney has decided, fuck it, we're going to put it on Disney Plus. It's scheduled now to be released Friday, June 12th. Do you think that's a statement on their faith in the property?
It sort of is a win-win for them in a weird way, because I think I'm sure it was testing horribly. This is just me guessing. And based on the,
they made him a real good guy in this
the trailer
movie,
was pissing off a lot of people that were into the series. So it didn't seem to be clicking or appealing to the fan base. So that's a mistake or, you know, an issue. So they were probably concerned like, well, shit, this thing's probably not going to do well. So, hey, you know, everybody keeps saying, hey, we should test, you know, going direct to, you know, VOD. Well, let's do it with this. And if it comes out and if it's very successful and does very well video, you know, or direct to streaming, then that could, you know, this could be that test. Because the movie is not cheap. They, you know, they did spend a little money on this thing. So.
Do you think that would have them release the sequels on theater?
I don't know. I think they'll look at the numbers.
125 exactly. million? Oh my god. Exactly. God.
So this is that test. This is that true test where they're going to sit back and say, "Okay, was it worth it or not?" But the win-win comes in if it's a failure completely, they can just be like, "Oh, it's because we tried this new thing, putting it, you know, directly out." And if it's a huge success and they're getting all these, you know, views for it, they can be like, "Oh, look. This is the future." So, marketing-wise, they can play it either way. And I'm pretty sure they were crunching numbers, looking at the social media reaction, and they were probably assuming that it was going to be a failure.
Yeah. That doesn't really make it much of a test, then, in my mind.
I mean, it. I guess it's more of a, they don't want to look bad, so it helps them with that.
Mm, yeah. Did you hear the other big Star Trek news?
Actually.
How are you feeling about... Well, let me tell the audience. Star Trek Strange New Worlds coming to CBS All Access. We'll focus on the decade before Kirk boards the Enterprise. And so Pike is in charge. And the people that played... the characters on Discovery will play in Strange New Worlds. You're the half Trekkie. What's your thoughts, and tell the audience what you think. How excited?
I'm gonna say you're drinking soda. I think it was a smart move because what Discovery's had mixed reactions from the fans. They did Picard. Okay, going to the nostalgia, going to the fans. Pike was something that people loved about Discovery Season 2. A lot of people really liked the performance from the actor. They liked... it was weird because if you watched any of Season 2, you have Discovery... My gripe with it mostly comes from continuity issues. They do a lot of dumb shit in it as far as continuity. Mm-hmm. And yet, all of a sudden, the Enterprise shows up. Everybody's in the proper uniforms. They're acting the part. It felt like Star Trek. All the crew of the Enterprise. Now they explain it why the uniforms are different and everything. I still think it's stupid, but knowing that classic feel that you did get from those characters is now they're going to get their own show. I think makes sense. I think they just sat and looked at Discovery and said, okay, what's the one thing that the fans have reacted the most positively to? The Pike stuff. Okay, we're going to give him a show. It's 10 years before the original Trek, so you pretty much do whatever you want for the most part. And
how do you... Because I'm looking at a photo of what I'm guessing is the Enterprise from Season 2. How do you... Like, in the sequels... I hate to bring up Star Wars after, like, last week, nothing but Star Wars, but... In the sequels, they worked real hard if it was an older ship or older base, older tech to keep the look and the feel from the OT, especially like the data screens and targeting screens and stuff like that in like the Falcon and whatnot. But this image looks like a... other than like the square fucking captain's chair, it's a very modern looking Enterprise. Was it in the show itself? Did they kind of make it look like if the Enterprise like the Kelvin timeline?
I mean, it's like a hybrid. It's sort of a hybrid. Okay. They took sort of the original design and definitely some Kelvin influence. So it's sort of in a little in between, but no, it is more of a modern look. I don't want to get all into it, but Discovery had tech. That did not exist at all in Star Trek for very long times. And they tried to explain it away somewhat, and it was just...
How'd they do that?
There's a lot of time travel bullshit that they started to get into. And then, of course, there's a parallel universe influence. Then there's also the fact that it was experimental. And then they...
Oh.
The ship... Oh, yeah, a lot of the stuff was experimental. And then they even went even a step further, and the ship goes away at the end of season two, spoilers, and it's gone. So I guess all the tech...
It's like a thousand years in the future for season three,
and so all the tech goes with it. So, oh well. So
That's where that show should have been to begin with. A thousand years past what do you call it in TOS, the original series?
You could have. You're right. You could have opened Discovery with being in the that classic timeline, and then something happens. Oh, we get launched to the future, and it's more of a Lost in Space type thing, but out of time, and that could have been the series. But I don't know. There's a lot of there's been a lot of creative back and forth with the new Trek. There's been hits, there's been misses, but I enjoyed what they did with Picard. I didn't think it was the greatest thing ever, but I think it was pretty solid for what they did.
So, some people seem to think it's the greatest Trek since The Next Generation and DS9 was the other favorite, right? This one, Ronald Moore had a lot to do with, right? The fucking Battlestar guy.
I don't know.
Maybe not.
It's a great show.
I don't know. He did First Contact, which is one of few non Kelvin timeline movies that I liked.
Like I said, I liked Picard, and knowing when I saw the news that they were going to do, you know, the Pike show, I did smile. I was like, that's smart. They're giving the fans what they want, and I think. I'm happy about it, so there you go.
Because Pike was a character in the original series, right?
Yes,
right?
Yes, sort of.
And he was he in charge of the Enterprise when the show first started, or
sort
no?
of? He was. I'll say he was injured, and I'll leave it at. Well, you don't care. Spoilers, but Pike.
So kind of like the Kelvin timeline.
It was very they tried to. It's not the same, but it's close. Yeah, he was bound to a sort of a wheelchair device.
I have no feelings.
I'm just. It's just cool to have, even whether it's Trek or not. I like Star Trek, but the fact that we have a constant flow now of big budget science fiction television or series, because there was a period where that sort of stopped. And the few shows, sci-fi shows like that you did have were just like the lowest of budgets. There was no space action or nothing like that. And so the fact that in the last couple of years we're getting stuff again, and I'm happy about that.
Are you including the Star Wars Mandalorian with that? Yeah. I found something out. Disney Plus had that Star Wars gallery, The Mandalorian, 30-35 minute episodes of behind the scenes talks with the directors, and then some of the other crew, and fucking Kathleen cutting in where she shouldn't, Kennedy. We only got two episodes of that, but we're about to get 6 episodes of the making of Frozen 2. honestly, Brian, as a person of logic, which one do you think should... are kids really interested in how Frozen 2 was made?
And that's a good point, because the only people that watch behind the scenes stuff are sort of the hardcore nerdy fans that want to know all the mechanics of how things were done. I don't know that kids give a shit about the filming process. Now maybe I'm wrong. Maybe this could you know, if you're a parent and your kid loves Frozen, you put this on and maybe it'll inspire them and maybe push them to want to write stories or get, you know what I mean? Like there could be a lot of positive
maybe
doing something like this, but I don't know that they'll seek it out. It's something that I think a parent would have to guide them towards.
I wish they would have had 6 episodes of shit on the Mandalorian. I
think and a lot of the stuff I think they're trying to spread. They don't have any damn content, man. They have nothing. Mm-mm.
They blew their metaphorical load. Sorry, ladies and gentlemen, but they did by releasing everything they had at launch. Like and not only that, but they had everything released on the same day. Your Mandalorian, look inside Disney. I forget the name of it, but it was like a Disney history thing. And your
the Jeff Goldblum,
Jeff Goldblum show, all released on Fridays. And I've complained about this before, and said how they should have they should have done like a Monday, Wednesday, Friday
deal. They probably, I mean, hindsight, but they probably should have had another big summer show done in the bag, ready to go, something mm-hmm. they could have dropped in, you know, mid-June, run through into maybe late July. There's nothing
people have been watching. Not only that, but the new season of DuckTales is out, mm-hmm. right? It's on Disney XD. They're not releasing the episodes on Disney Plus. And that's really dumb because of how many cord cutters there are that don't have access to Disney XD. Like, you could do it like Hulu does, you know, 24 hours later.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And boom, there should be the season 3 episode of the DuckTales, which I still stand by. This is the greatest reboot ever. Ever. There's never been a reboot that has done the original source material more honor while at the same time being its own thing. I fucking love it. Have you seen any full episodes? No. Dude, but first 2 seasons are on Disney Plus. You need to watch
it. I'll add it to my list. I have a group of shows I'm watching right now and I'm going to run out.
Yeah, where are you at? I'm about half. What we do in the shadows.
Episode 6, and then I'm on like episode 6 or 7 of Future Man, and then I'm halfway through Solar Opposites. I'll be done with Solar Opposites probably in the next couple of days, and then I
like that show.
The DuckTales to my.
Yeah, make sure. I don't know if they fixed the order, but originally it was out of order. It was like episode 4 and 5. When Disney Plus first released, and I'll double check and tell you after the show. But the first episode you should watch should be called Woohoo, like the song Woohoo, and then you can go back to episode 1 and watch if they hadn't fixed it yet. But when it first released, it was out of order.
Making a note.
God, I can't wait till you get to the. I can't wait to get to the Vampire Chronicles, or Vampire Council for What We Do in the Shadows, and this past week's episode of What We Do in the Shadows had a major guest star.
It was all over social media.
Oh, you already knew. Okay, so I'll give people. We're gonna end the show after talking about this, so you don't have to come back. But spoiler alert: in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, Mark Hamill is a fucking awesome vampire. I was watching the show and I hear the voice because he used a little bit of the Joker in it, and I'm like, is that Mark Hamill? Because he's in a cloak. when he first shows up with his hood up. Is that Mark Hamill? Christine's like, I don't know. He takes off the hood. Boom, Mark fucking Hamill.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Oh, man, it is. It is. But that Vampire Council episode is going to blow your mind, too, because I know I told you a couple, but there's some more wicked awesome surprises. So, yeah. Well, that's it for those of you that stuck around because you either don't care about spoilers or you are already spoiled or kept up with what we do in the shadows. Be sure to check out LRMOnline.com every single day for all your entertainment news, needs, and opinions. Be sure to check out the YouTube channel. Lots of great stuff on there. A lot of celebrity interviews. Not as many like new ones, but the celebrities are all like locked away in their mansions, quote unquote, suffering with us. And but be sure to check out the rest of the LRM Online podcast network for amazing shows like Breaking Geek Radio podcast, LR Mornings, and we are working on a trivia competition where you guys, the readers and listeners, will have an opportunity to win real life prizes. It's a really cool idea. You're going to get to play by proxy. One of us will represent you, and if we win, you win. We play, you win. That's basically the tagline. So subscribe and follow us at @LRM_exclusive on Twitter to keep your eyes open for when that hits and starts. So yeah, Brian, go ahead and plug your thing.
You can find me.
Don't plug your thing, but you know.
You can find me on YouTube. The channel is Pulp Mythos, PULPMYTHOS. That's one word. You can subscribe. I'm currently doing movie reviews every Sunday evening.
There you guys go. Please give him a subscribe. Hit the bell so you can be notified when he releases his content. And you guys can find me at @ThatKyleMalone on Twitter. Thank you so much for sticking with us for like 38 minutes. We'll talk to you tomorrow.